This is segment two of the Synergism Workshop, which is being tape recorded for the benefit of all Synergism users throughout the United States and Canada. It will be edited in with the Saturday session, and you, wherever you may be, will receive the tapes and the workbook that we're using for this class. During the course of this session, we will not only address problems of synergism, which yesterday took up till about an hour after the lunch break, and then we went into a series of other subjects related to synergism's readouts, not so much the use of the program, because in the synergism readouts there are very, very decided advantages to teach you how to handicap in general, because these readouts give you a far more interpretive picture than any other readouts except for contender scan, which uses the same format of the dream race on top and the relative positions behind the dream race fractions of all the other horses. Now, one of our clients this morning did something very, very wise, which I wish all people would do when they come to a workshop with a problem where they haven't been winning as much as they should. John Berkey had the decency to bring his races. Instead of just saying, well, I lost some races, he showed us the races he thought he lost. After going through it, we find that he won 5 out of the 6, and that his reason for not betting the winners 5 out of the 6 times was ironically related to the price that the horses paid. The horses that paid, there goes the microphone, the horse that paid 7, 8, 5, 40, he had. Somehow he comes to the horse that pays 27.20 and 20.40, both of which are just as distinguishably winners as the others, and did not have the winners in those. Whether this correlates to he thought the price was too high subconsciously and eschewed them because they were paying too much, or whether it was just zigging and zagging or Murphy's Law, I don't know. But his problem, as we quickly perceived, is interpretation of readouts. In John's defense, he misinterpreted, his ears misinterpreted someone saying that when you weight a horse on W in synergism, not to look at turn time, the T formula. It's quite the contrary. It's 100% in reverse. When you weight the horse with W, turn time becomes the second most important readout if you don't know the early-late bias of the track. And apparently he had that confused. So it turns out that these large winners were number one on sustained and number one on turn time, and his fellow handicappers who had handicapped during the same week assured him that the distance at which he was handicapping was sustained. So when a horse is number one sustained and turn time weighted on W, even though it was number three W, the weighting demonstrated that the 2070 and the 20-something-odd horse were the picks. So we're going to go very heavily into interpretation today, because if we can believe the many letters we've had and the many wonderful responses we had to the program with yesterday's class, we have to assume that synergism has solved a lot of problems. How many of you have more positive experiences with synergism to date than problems? That's more than half the room, or at least half the room. So yesterday they were very open. I'd like to get some feedback from you on how it's working, when it seems not to work as well, and when it works the best. Not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of all those who'll be listening on the tape. Our format will be, Bob will go over, he will answer some generic questions, clean up and some miscomprehensions, as opposed to, is synergism synergism when it's not synergism? Synergism is only synergism when you say yes to synergism's automatic variance. When you say no and use another variant, either one made by you or in the case of West Coast people by Brohammer, you are using it as phase three. The only thing synergistic about it, when you use it with your own or somebody's supplied variant is that it gives you the same advantages of that T readout and the weighting of how you've ranked it. So that's still an advantage, but it is technically not synergism when you say no to synergism's automatic variant. It merely is phase three with an additional powerful readout with a weighting. So without further ado, Bob will start off here, and then after going all over the races, most of your questions will be asked, but until they're all answered satisfactorily, we will stay on this program.
And what I'm going to do this morning is I want to clear up a couple of problems that some of you may have found with the phase three element of synergism. How many of you use phase three with your own variance or somebody else's variant of the synergism program? Okay. Do you know that when you put in a sprinter stretching out, that it automatically calculates the sprinter, gives it a movement? Right, not everybody's aware of that, so I want to show you how to correct it. Everybody here, I assume, has had synergism for a while, so you don't have a corrected version, and you won't be getting it, because I'm going to tell you just how to solve the problem. You don't really need the corrected version. The program, if you are using your own variance, not synergism now, we're talking about phase three. So if you put in your own variance and you put in a sprinter who is stretching out, it automatically gives it a minus 2.3 sprint to route adjustment, regardless of whether it's a 7-furlong horse going into a mile or a 6-furlong going into 9 furlongs. The penalty is always the same, minus 2.3. If you find that your penalty is different, you're keeping a track profile and you've got all your own records, we'll use an example of a 7-furlong horse, 7-furlong pace line, going today into a 9-furlong race. Correction, let's make it an 8-furlong. So he's just going to go from 7 furlongs to a mile. And you know from your records at Santa Anita, and I don't know whether this is accurate or not, I'm just going to use an arbitrary figure, that the penalty really should be minus 1.60, not minus 2.30. You can correct this very easily. When you ask for the open adjustment, just add in the difference, which in this case is going to be 0.70. So you just add the 0.70 to your open adjustment. That makes your sprint to route minus 1.6 instead of the minus 2.3. Does everybody understand that? Any questions at all? Let's go the other way. Let's say that you have determined in a 6-furlong race, or a 6-furlong pace line rather, horse going into 9 furlongs, that the sprint to route should be minus 2.70. Okay? It's a larger penalty.
That's what automatically it does.
No. The penalty is always hard coded in the machine, minus 2.3. Okay, you might want to write that down somewhere so you don't forget it. And this is phase three only. There is no such thing in synergism. Okay, synergism handles the sprinters stretching out in a completely different manner. All right, so if you're still using phase three, a 6-furlong horse, 6-furlong pace line going into 9 furlongs, and your records tell you that the penalty should be minus 2.70. The difference between minus 2.7 and minus 2.3 is an additional penalty of minus 0.40. You put that into the open adjustment, and now you've increased the penalty from minus 2.3 to minus 2.7, and you've got the proper sprint to route adjustment in there. Now, for anyone listening on the tapes, if you get a copy of Synergism and it is version 2.0 or higher, 2.1 or whatever, you don't have to worry about this. You put in your own sprinter route. There is no sprinter route automatic adjustment in the higher versions of Synergism. Understood? So if any of you here don't have the program already and you buy it now, and you use phase three, You have to put in all of your sprinter route adjustments by yourself. There is no 2.3 in it.
How do you know you have this, your program?
Does your program say version 2.1 on it?
No.
Then you don't have the new one. And if you want to know real easy, put in a sprinter stretching out, and then give them a 2.3 in the open adjustment, you'll see, they come out the same. Okay. Easy to do. A little math, work won't hurt anybody.
And how you get those is by keeping one of these. Everybody have one of these. Okay, your track profile, it merely tells you from your own actual experiences at a given track exactly what the adjustment is from your own record. It's on a regular basis from the results charts, and you'll know what the delineation is between distances.
I had a lot of comments, not so much from people outside of California, but people in California, because a lot of them are using Tom Brougham's variant. And what they're doing is they're taking and running the races through the program with synergism, and then they're going back and running them through using Tom's variant. And they're saying, well, in this 20 race cycle, synergism outperformed Tom's variant. And in the next 20 race cycle, his variance did better. And they're back and forth and back and forth. That's a big mistake. You either use one or the other. If you want to be successful in this business, if you want to play games, I'd suggest you do all of this work on paper and not go to the track and risk your money, because you're fooling yourself. Using synergism, you have to learn to have that program become a part of you, your pace line selection and all the rest of it. And if you're using phase three and synergism, you're using two different programs. The formulas are different. There's a great deal of difference between the two programs. So if you use both of them, you're just playing games with yourself and your bankroll. And you're making a very serious mistake. And most of the people that call me up and want to discuss using the synergism program both ways, I have a very short conversation with them. Because it's a serious mistake. And anybody who's dumb enough to do that, to risk their bankroll by playing two different types of things, one against the other, is not serious about what they're doing. You know, and the object for you going to the track is to make money, not to be out there to prove that this program works better than that or one works better than the other. Your object is to be out there making money. No decent race. You don't have to have a decent race. There's no such situation.
From five different tracks, none of which is today's track.
No problem.
Absolutely
no problem. No problem whatsoever.
That's what it's really designed
that's
for.
That's typical on the East Coast, and they're having excellent success percentages.
Pomona was not
a set-up
touch race. We're going to get into that.
What I want to do is,
right now I want to ask if anybody has any questions on the phase three element of the synergism program, because I want to get them out of the way. We're not going to discuss phase three today. Only synergism program that you all have is not a single program. It's two programs. One of them is phase three. It runs entirely separate. None of the things that go on in synergism go on at all in the phase three element of the program. It's two complete, separate, different programs. So what happens in synergism is not going to happen when you say no to the automatic variant. It is nothing more than a phase three program, period. There aren't any automatics, there aren't any adjustments, there aren't anything other than the sprinter route, which is already in there.
Okay, the other direction.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions on phase three?
When you get defined F and can put in adjustments, does that shift out of an automatic and then you move to phase three?
Once you've run a race through synergism and you decide that you want to do what I just told you not to do, okay, when you punch death F, as soon as you hit that F key, everything you've done in synergism is wiped out. Okay, it's all gone, all the automatic adjustments, everything has disappeared, and you're into the phase three element of the program. And it runs strictly as a phase three. That's the way it works. Any other questions? Comfortable using a set of variants and using phase three, then use phase three only. at the track where you have the variance available to you, okay? Don't be switching off and using the synergism program. But when you go away, say to Las Vegas, you obviously don't have a set of variance unless you have a service that provides variance for all these various tracks, then just use the synergism program. The problem you're going to have there is the learning curve, because using synergism is a different mindset than using phase three. It's just, it becomes part of you, the way you recognize immediately certain patterns for setting up the race and whatever, and that's not something we can teach. It's something you have to learn from using the program over and over again. That's why switching back and forth is just confusing. Okay, any more phase three questions? Okay, let's get on to synergism. You all got the manuals? Dick, unfortunately, was in a little bit of a hurry and he forgot to number the pages, so we'll have to just kind of go through. Turn the page to where it faces. Okay, the format I like to follow this morning is I'm going to go through the example races that I have here. We'll take questions on these example races only as we go over them. And then when this is all done, what I like to do is have a lot of questions from the floor about the problems that you're having using synergism, which hopefully will help you and will also help the people listening on the tapes. You'll be receiving them around the country. Because the people that are going to be getting the tapes will also get these workbooks to go along with them, so they'll have the benefit of both your questions and the workbook. Okay? Look at the top paragraph here above the where it says example races. I didn't pick these races for any particular purpose. They just happened to be the most recent 2 days that I went to the track. In fact, the only couple of days I've had to go for quite a while. So the good races, I didn't have to rerun them. I already had all the printouts because I'd been to the track and all the rest of it. All I had to do was the narrative. And we'll just start with the first one, which was the second race on Friday. It was a week ago Friday, I believe, or 2 weeks ago. All right, the contenders I made in this race were Olympic Bingo, Crowning, Yippee-I-O, Sagamore, and Bull St. Pat. All right, if you can turn back a couple of pages, you'll see that this is 9 furlongs. The only horse in the race whose pace line I was using that had 9 furlongs over this track was Olympic Bingo. So he's the obvious choice for setting up this race. So I put in the setup times from the pace of the race of the Olympic Bingo race. Now before I go through the rest of these contenders, I want to ask how many of you here know why we put in the setup times at the beginning of the race? Does everybody understand that completely, why it's done? 111 and 1, 150 and 2. And tell me what the variant is. 434. Actually, the number that synergism gives you, but it's the same process, okay? Because the number, when you put in these pace lines for synergism, before it calculates the 5434, it calculates a daily track variant for this number first for each of them. So if you put in 5, or up to 5, it makes a variant for each one of these as it goes along. Then it averages them after they've all been adjusted. So you're setting up the pace of the race that these horses are going to be running at. All right, but let's assume that this is properly adjusted. And our par variant ends up to be 54-34.
You can get by with just one race.
You can get by with just one race. But if that's all you got, that's all you got. And never put in more than 5 because you'll get an error in your program if you put in more than 5. You have to have one. You have to have one race, and it doesn't matter. What you do then is you try to take the one closest to today's distance, closest to today's track, or track record. For example, if you're at Santa Anita, and you're talking about 6 furlongs, the 6 furlong track record at Del Mar is the same as it is at Santa Anita. So they're almost interchangeable. It's a little different surface and structure of the track, so they run differently, but the final time is okay. In any case, in the case of Olympic Bingo, we'll assume that after it's adjusted, it comes out to 54-34. Now, any horse whose pace line you enter is of a different distance than 9 furlongs that you told the computer that it's going today, or any 9 furlong pace line that you put in and you answer yes to the shipper, will be adjusted to 5434, the par variance. Okay? That's the reason for your setup time. You have to have a par variant for horses that will need to be adjusted. Any horse that you put in with a 9 furlong pace line and you say no to the shipper, he will not be adjusted to this par variant. Okay? That's a separate calculation entirely. That horse gets a daily track variant calculated in the same manner that Tom does his variant. All right, and everybody understand now why you have to put in the setup time. One is good enough if that's all you've got. Two is better than one, three is better than two. The more you have, the more you should put in, up to a total of 5. All right. Now, what is the reason for this? The reason for setting up a par variant is that horses do not run against par times. They run against other horses. And this is the anticipated pace that the horses are going to be running at today, properly adjusted before it's averaged. So your adjustments are much better than they are by using par times. And the reason I happen to know that is I've done a lot of research in doing races this way and going back and doing over again, just putting in the par times from the par time tables. And Tom and I have developed some very, very accurate par times for all of these tracks in Southern California. We've got about 5 years' worth of data in the database, so we know our par times are good. The program does not work that well using par times. It works far superior when you put in the pace of the race of the horses that you're going to be running at against today. You get about 3 more winners out of 20.
That's verified by independent research using current par times nationwide, verified the accuracy
A lot of people have taken shortcuts and said, oh, well, hell, I'll just put in one. You know, what? Why bother with putting in 3 or 4? It's a lot of work to just keep punching those numbers in. The more you have, the more accurate your adjustments are going to be.
Should you move off track?
Each one is adjusted by a daily variant before it's calculated. So I use off track, it doesn't matter. It's immaterial.
Well, you say, now, suppose you got 8 furlongs, and you're stuck with a 9 furlong,
whenever you make, there are certain things you have to do before you start your handicapping process. So let's start at the beginning when you open up the form. The first thing you should do is go through your class and APV. Do all of those. They're written down in your form. The next thing is your pluses and your zeros. If all of you don't know how to do that, you should get the printouts that we have to show you how to do that. And the third thing you should do is your ESP. Okay? That sets up your race and helps you define your pace line selections much more accurately. And I'll give you a little tip that Bill Conklin was good enough to show me in Las Vegas at our seminar there. And I'll share it with you because I think it's a really dynamite idea. And it's immaterial what color you use. I happen to use green felt tip pen when I'm doing the ESPs. Rather than writing in the form E, S, and P and then have to go through and search for them, I just take a felt tip pen and across the horse's name, I make a wide bar in green if the horse is an early speed horse. If he's a presser, I just use the tip of it and make a narrow bar through his name like that. So I can look at a glance and I can see 5 or 6 wide green bars, and it'll tell me there's a lot of early speed in this race. Or there is a preponderance of pressers, or if it's an empty page, they're all closers in the race because you don't mark the closers, they're just left blank. And it really sets up for you very nicely. So that's just something you ought to do. And it helps you pick your pace line. Because if the race sets up one way, your pace line selection may be a little different than if it sets up for closes or and that's something you have to gain with experience. It'll take a little doing. I'll give you an example of how important it is. All right? A couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, out at Oak Tree, the first race was just one of those terrible $10,000 races. And when I went through and marked the ESPs on the horse, I did not have a single wide bar in the race. I had, I think, one presser, and every other horse in the race was a closer. Okay? So, if you've got nothing but closers in the race, what type of horse do you think is going to win the race? How would you rank the race?
When you
rank it early. You want to know which one of these plotters is going to be the closest to the front. Exactly. So, one of my dyed-in-the-wool closers came up number one, early pace, out of all of these closers, and he paid $76. And that, I never would have noticed without going through the effort of doing the ESP. The ESP becomes very important in the pace line selection. Yes, question. I think it was yesterday or Friday. Tough Angelure won the first or second race.
Yeah.
Look at the energies on the first and second place horses, over 54%. Okay? But if you analyze that race properly, they were 54% because both of their pace lines came off of muddy tracks, or sloppy tracks rather, and they had no finish at all. The third fraction was nothing, which pumped up the value of their percent early. And he had such a high percent early in that pace line that you were using because he had no finish in the pace line. He was beaten 5 or 6 lengths or whatever it was. Okay, so now you haven't even picked your pace lines yet, but you've done your class in APV, your pluses and zeros, and your ESPs, and you pretty much know how this race should set up. Now you can go start looking for your pace lines. Before you ever turn on your computer, you can get all of your pace lines chosen. That way you know how to set the race up. This is where we get into determining, well, how am I going to set this race up today? All right, after you've nailed down your contenders and picked the pace lines for those contenders, now you look at the race. And let's use an example and say today's race happens to be a 1 mile race at Santa Anita. It's a one turn mile. So they're going 8 furlongs today. You look down at your pace line selections and you don't have any mile pace lines at all. They're all mile and a 16th or 9 furlongs. And let's say you've narrowed it down to 5 horses. You have 3 of them that have 8.5 furlong pace lines, and the other 2 are 9 furlongs. How do you set this race up?
8.5.
Whatever the majority of like distances are, assuming they're all from the same track. All right, so if you had 3 of them, they were all from Santa Anita, doesn't matter that they're only going a mile today. You don't care about the distance that the horses are going to run today. It's immaterial to synergism. What you're interested in is how are these horses going to match up one against the other. The most accurate adjustments in synergism are on the like pace lines. So you want to have as many as you can of the same distance. You'll use the pace of the race of these 3 horses, enter them in for your setup times. That creates this par variant that we were talking about over here, and we'll assume that that's it, 54-34. And then these 2 horses with the 9 furlong pace line will be adjusted to the par variant that these horses should set today. Whatever the majority of like pace lines are, that's what you tell the computer the distance of today's race is. Yes?
Suppose the two 9 furlong pace lines are different pace lines, okay? And the 8.5 furlong, you said 3 separate 8.5 furlong pace lines.
Right.
Okay. But now, if, say, 3 horses, there were 8.5 furlongs, and those horses were coming out of the same race, then would you use the 9 furlong, different pace line for the 9 furlong, because
you get 2 races.
This was a tandem race. This was a tandem race, and all three of the horses came out of the same race.
Right.
You do just the opposite. You go to get the 9 furlongs because it's two different races rather than one. Majority of your race? They're all going to get properly adjusted, so it's immaterial.
Bob, that was my question also. It was the third race. It was Friday, I'm not sure. But it was, we had 3 sixes, and 2 8, 8 and a halfs. And it was an 8 and a half race. And I was going, I can't set it up for 6. It should be set up for 8. Now, would you put in the track record for 6 furlongs
sure.
At that point?
Oh, you have to use the track record of the distance that you're telling
the computer. Yet you're telling a computer it's a 6 furlong race and it's actually an 8 and a half furlong race.
Well, you've got
to be a little careful when you're going that way, all right? My decision would be based on the internal fractions of the two routers. If they show good internal fractions, then I'd set it up as a sprint. And because all you're going to do when you enter the two routes is pull out the internal fractions automatically and convert it back to a sprint. If they didn't have real good internal fractions, then I'd do just the opposite. And I'd say, okay, there's the one situation where I break the rule. Rather than taking the routers and converting them back to sprints because they're not going to get good numbers and they look like good routers, and today's distance really is a route, then I'd say, okay, I'll use these 2 8 and a half and I'll stretch out the 3 6 furlong horses.